Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Hello, sweet listener. This is episode one. This is episode one of the Soft Shoulder, and I'm feeling a little nervous and I'm feeling excited. And I'm looking at the topic, what is self-marriage? And I have a feeling that we'll be answering that question ongoing from episode to episode. What is it? I mean, to start with self-marriage, then you have to look at marriage itself, which is, you know, I like to think of marriage as like a clown car. I mean, there's just like, there's so many different stories. There's so many different aspects and facets to this. From, you know, there's stories of love and sex and politics. There's stories of money and commitment and family, culture, tradition, fashion, feminism, religion, romance, the past, the future, bodies, spirits, and of course the giant glittery wheel of the wedding industry. There's so many things to think about when you think about the word marriage. What do you think about? Of course, there's also on the far-reaching spectrums, there's people forced into marriages and people who are told they're not allowed to marry. And some people put marriage in the same category as Santa Claus or ghosts and God, and they say they just don't believe in it. And so it's, I think in order to build, because self-marriage is something that I think the definition, it's kind of like art. It's an ongoing dialogue. It's something that people are creating from different perspectives with different ideas, which I, of course, find so exciting. It's so personal. And it's a conversation that's happening. But in order to build a new conversation, it's important to look at the foundation and to clear away. If you're going to build a sandcastle, you don't like build it on a pile of other sandcastles necessarily. You can. It's a little more challenging. It's good to sort of clear the decks and like, what have we got here? So yes. So just recognizing that both are really a dialogue. And what's important about self-marriage is it's the dialogue that you have with you and what marriage means to you, where you're coming from, why you might want to recreate it, and why you might want to do that just for you. When I married myself, it was an impulsive, creative, very personal decision. I never planned on telling anyone, and I certainly never planned on telling the story with a microphone in front of my face. I can tell you that. I certainly did not see it as the core of my work as I know it is now. I was an art student. I was a student at the Ontario College of Art and Design in downtown Toronto, and I lived just around the corner. I lived on Darcy Street. And Now Magazine was like the regular, you know, came out every Thursday in paper form. And this was a real staple of mine. I would like look forward every Thursday to opening it up for two main reasons. One was what bands were playing. And the second one was Rob Bresny's horoscopes, Free Will Astrology. He's one of my, still like my favorite go-to for horoscopes. And around that time, I think with any story, you could just keep keep going back and back and back. We're gonna start it in my mid-20s as this art student, but of course, I had been raised on, I mean, the idea of love, the idea of romantic love, the thrill of falling in love, of crushes, the drama of it. It was something I was definitely putting a lot of attention to. I got a lot of joy out of this. It was so important to me. Around the time I was, I don't know, my mid-20s, I just had a thought one day while I was walking that this isn't guaranteed. Like this quest that I had at the time for a soulmate, for to know it's the one, to meet someone and have it like be like, okay, now our lives begin. It's not guaranteed. I was looking at the world around me. I was looking at my own life. I'd known people who'd died in their teens. I'd known people whose lives turned out completely differently than what they thought. People who wanted love and didn't find it. People who wanted children and couldn't have them. There was just a lot more to life, obviously. And in my coming of age moment, one of many, I realized, wait a second, if I believe that waiting for the one and waiting for this marriage moment was going to have such a huge impact on my life about like this idea of when my life would begin and whether or not I would be happy and whether or not I'd be worthy of love. Well, I was kind of setting myself up for like potential failure because it could happen and it also might not. And I thought, I don't want to be 40, 60, 80. If I'm lucky to live a long, beautiful life, I don't want this to be, you know, this other random circumstance to define how worthy my life has been and whether it's been a failure in terms of loving and feeling loved. So I was, of course, contemplating this while also having crushes on completely inappropriate art students and musicians. And so I was kind of, you know, living in both of those worlds in my mind. And good old Rob Bresny, thank you. He told all Sagittarians that December to marry themselves. It was in the horoscope. It was just like, you should plan a ceremony, get engaged, make this commitment. Now's the time. And I just read it. I cut it out. And I said yes. I just said yes in the moment. That was my memory of that in this tiny little purple bedroom on Darcy Street with like old wood floors, a futon, paintings everywhere. I think it was 10 feet by 8 feet. I don't know. This is a small room. This is my my whole life is in this room. I cut it out. I put it in my journal. And I began to plan. So the year ahead, I was looking at it. I didn't want to be impulsive. I really felt called to this engagement. And it felt very private and special and strange and uncomfortable. It wasn't like I just knew and it was great. Like I felt awkward doing this. I think it's important to tell you that. So I started thinking about the marriage definitions that I knew, what my experiences were, and what I wanted to keep and what I wanted to let go of. I was sort of using, you know, marriage as I knew it as a template. So I was like, okay, well, if I'm getting married to myself, I need a proper engagement and there's some kind of piece of jewelry or an offering of some sort. There's a special day, and then there's an engagement period where then you're planning a wedding. And I knew that I wanted to choose things that were going to sustain. I wanted to choose things that were going to change how I looked at romance and how I celebrated my life with consciousness. So just as sort of like a strange insurance policy, I decided to propose to myself on Valentine's Day because, of course, Valentine's Day is a loaded day. And in my 20s, it was like definitely more charged and feeling like out of my hands. So I was like, well, I'm going to take that day. That's going to be the day I get engaged. I made a beaded necklace. I had all these like seed beads, some that from friends, some that I got in Kensington Market. And I made myself a fun kind of candy necklace and decided that would be my engagement necklace. I didn't put it on until Valentine's Day in that room, that same small room. And I began to plan. I wanted to know, you know, what day in the future am I going to want to celebrate? I chose June 7th because it's opposite of my birthday by 6 months. And being very practical, I wanted to celebrate myself every 6 months and have something like a halfway mark in the year. So I chose June. I also chose June because I still wanted to get married then to someone else. And I had always pictured getting married in the fall. And so I wanted to space my anniversaries out. And I knew I wouldn't have a June wedding because of my fear of bees. This is all at the time. Anyhow, so I chose a song also. I chose an engagement song, and I was strategic with that song because I knew I might wiggle out of this. I wasn't telling anyone, and I still felt strange and tender and bizarre about this decision that I'd made. So I wanted a song that I knew would come on the radio. I knew would confront me in the mall. I knew I would hear from, like, on Queen Street when the windows are open that spring. It was a very throaty rock ballad. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to reveal it at a later date. But it was a pretty cheesy, throaty love ballad of that year. And sure enough, as planned, it was just playing everywhere. And every time I heard it, I was reminded of this commitment that I had made. It was holding me accountable, like the Serendipity of the Universe soundtrack was holding me accountable. I thought about bands. At the time, I was working with my hands all the time. I had a job also that I was working in, and like with auto body filler and paint and wood and metal. And so a delicate piece of jewelry wasn't really suiting my budget or my lifestyle. And there's a store called Northbound Leather. I used to go in there at the time, kind of dreaming about being able to purchase something like that, something from there. And I decided to treat myself to wristbands, one for each wrist. So still a set of bands for me and for me. And they snap onto my wrists and they have like a little strip of metal. And it made me feel like Wonder Woman, made me feel strong. I also just wanted to treat myself to something that I wanted but didn't find the occasion for. I wouldn't have invested my money otherwise. But I was like, well, this is a special occasion. So I gave myself permission to treat myself to this gift. And when I bought them, I kept them wrapped. I didn't take them out until the ceremony. The ceremony. So I planned the day. It was a work day, and I was planning to call in sick that morning, which I did. I called early before the office opened and left a message on the machine. And then I took myself to Center Island. I got on the ferry. I took my bands. I brought some strange things. One of the things I loved about weddings as a kid was that idea. Have you ever heard that little rhyme or tradition that something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue? I wanted this. I just really loved it. So, you know, what's funny is I can't always remember what the items were. Something old might have been the jeans I wore. My uncle owned a vintage clothing store at the time, and I worked there part-time, and there was these gorgeous jeans. They were so old. They were just shredded in the most beautiful, the way that people try to artificially rip jeans. They were just like all on the thigh, right down to the knee into the shin. They were beautiful kind of stone wash. They were patched underneath, so even though they had the rips, they felt really good on the inside, and they were holding together, and they were the perfect flared bell-bottom jean. They were just, they fit me like a glove. They were incredible. That was the old thing that I wore on my wedding day. The something new, of course, was the bands. It's the borrowed thing that I can't recall, but I know that for blue, I had two things. My hair was dyed blue, like Grover blue, and I had a bra that matched. And I wore a white peasant blouse that I bought in Italy, where my mom is from. And so I just like packed a bag. I had a camera. I had a little blanket. I had, I didn't know what was going to happen. I just know I needed to be at the beach. So I took myself there. I took some photos along the way. I had written vows beforehand and had them rolled up like in a little scroll. And I wandered around. I just absorbed the beauty. It was very quiet. It was very sunny. I made my way down and found a quiet place at the beach, and I laid out my blanket. I had a new song now. I had a wedding song, so an engagement song and a wedding song, because I knew I would need something to sort of mark the fact that I was now married. and I had thought about the idea of a witness, because this was such a private moment. You know, I was like, well, there's going to be no one there, but I want a witness. And so I brought a stuffed toy that I cherish named Louis Lapin, and it's a mustard-colored rabbit I bought when I was in Paris when I was 21. I brought Louis and I sat him on the blanket with me. And so I'm getting my picture this, people. Okay, so I've got this like blanket and this bunny and a little scroll and some leather bands. And I'm at Center Island. It's like this big stretch of sand and I'm sitting by the water. There's not many people around, but there were some. So as I'm setting this up, I notice these two young women. They're around my age, I guessed at the time, so early 20s. And they're walking towards me. And of course, I'm feeling really self-conscious. So I'm like, I'm just going to wait for them to pass before I get into the whole ceremony. They start walking by and they're kind of looking at me. One of them's looking a little more cautiously than the other one. And the curious one says to me like, hey, can I ask what you're doing? And I just looked up at her and I said, I'm getting married. And like my throat is just like shaking, right? Because I'm just anticipating, of course, the next question. And I think the cautious friend was also feeling nervous. Because, you know, I looked a little strange sitting here with this bunny, right? there's no sight of a groom or a bride. It's just me there. The curious one says, oh, that's so wonderful. And she looks around and she says, who are you getting married to? And I answered, honestly, I said, myself. And now that was hilarious because then you could see the friend. I could actually see her telepathically, like, telling her friend, like, let's keep walking, let's keep walking. Like, her face was just giving this all away. But the curious one who had asked the question thought about it for a moment. She kind of just looked at me. The three of us are standing there in the sand. And she just sort of, like, nodded. And then she said, well, I think that's really empowering. And I said, thanks. And then they said goodbye and kept walking. And as they kept walking, I knew that if I was them, I would have the same reaction at the time. And as they walked away, I took a photo of them. And I thought, I have witnesses. So everything's in place, right? I mean, what do I do? There's no, like, celebrant. There's no people. I just awkwardly, tenderly sat for a moment. I awkwardly, tenderly opened up the scroll. I read my vows out loud. I looked at the water. I looked at Louis. And I don't know if I kissed my hand or if there was any kind of now you are married thing. I just read the vows. I sat with them for a while, not knowing, just feeling kind of strange. And then I decided it was time for the dance. And so I put on my headphones. It was a cassette Walkman. And I had the song, it's a duet. Oh my gosh. In this moment, I can't remember who the male vocalist is. It's Dinah Washington. And it was Baby, You Got What It Takes. And I let myself walk into the water. It was sort of like a little baptismal moment as well. Barefoot, my old ripped jeans getting wet and sandy and dirty. And this beautiful song that I loved, the celebratory song that I am now imagining is me singing to me, Baby, You Got What It Takes. And I danced in the sun, feeling incredibly self-conscious, looking over my shoulder every once in a while to make sure that, like, no one was there. And when I was done, I just kind of quietly packed things up and went about my day and made my way home. So that's the story of not of the marriage, but of the decision and of the wedding. What I really loved about that idea then was just that I could decide, that I could take this into my own hands. The vows were really interesting to write. What do you vow to yourself, right? When you're not thinking about fidelity and you're not thinking about a template, what are the vows, right? And so, you know, it really felt to me like now in hindsight, so as I'm recording this, I am approaching my 17th self-wedding anniversary. It was a long time ago. I was a different person then. When I actually just retelling you this story is just making me feel a lot of love for that girl. It was a while, long time ago. And I kind of look at it like... You know, it was like young love. I got this idea. I got this crush on this idea to love myself. And I just jumped in. Like maybe you have, maybe a lot of people did or used to in their 20s. Let's get married. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but do you know who you are at 20? Does anyone ever? But I mean, when I look back at who I was then, it really felt like this, like I rushed in like this puppy love version of self-love. And I had no idea what was ahead of me. I had no idea what this commitment really was going to ask of me if I continued to honor it. Now, one of the vows that I had, of course, was that my self-marriage was an open marriage. This was not instead of ever finding love somewhere else with other people. But it really meant something to me. So, after a bunch of years of celebrating this, like, so how it started off was I would come around to my anniversary and I would do something. I would take myself out alone, maybe for a coffee. I would take myself out with a journal. I would just do something alone and quiet. And it just became this ritual that now is so much a part of my, not just once a year, really every day this relationship has grown. But I would make sure I did something on that day and reflect. And what was so interesting was that sometimes it still felt tender and strange and vulnerable. I didn't know what this meant then. Yeah. And so I share this story with you, and particularly the vulnerability part and the tender, awkward part, because, you know, I think when people hear about the idea of self-love, self-marriage, that is the deep end of the pool, right? I mean, how many of us feel ready for that? I think, you know, we're not really taught and encouraged to love ourselves in the real, true sense of the word, in the real deep loyalty and commitment of putting ourselves first and of really thinking of what love means. And so, you know, the idea of self-love can feel impossible when self-care, self-trust, even self-compassion, maybe even self-forgiveness feels like that is a big step for where you are. So I tell you this too, because sometimes it just starts with flirting. You know, years later, I ended up beginning to teach self-marriage. I did not see that coming. But I realized as I was developing the curriculum that it needs an introduction. It needs the flirtation. It needs, the idea is to consider it. Because certainly not everybody who's like having a loving, committed partnership with anyone, you don't need to be married for that. Maybe you know that personally. The marriage isn't required for a deep, committed love and partnership. And so that might not be what you want for you. But the idea of flirting with what that could look like, the idea of trying it on, the idea of using your imagination to consider what kind of relationship do you currently have and what would you like to cultivate? That's the way in. So I'm telling you the story of my wedding to myself. And what I learned over the 17 years is that the wedding is not the work. And self-marriage, to me, it's the work. It is the work of loving yourself, of choosing yourself, of returning to yourself over and over again. It is doing that in partnerships with other people romantically. It is doing that when you're single. It's an incredible compass. Once I got married to myself, one of the most helpful things was it just became really clear. This is coming back to another vow. So one of the vows was that it was, you know, I had permission to love and even marry other people so long as that partnership and those other relationships were serving my self-marriage first. I think that might have been the most important vow at the time. It was a really quick answer from my intuition whenever I'd asked that question. And as I moved on and was dating other people, I knew that I was out of integrity with myself when I didn't ask that question because I knew the answer would be no. I knew it. Is this person like serving my self-marriage? Is this silent treatment I'm getting from this person serving my self-marriage? I knew. Yeah. Are you thinking about that with you right now? It doesn't even matter if you're in a relationship or not, because as I said, this isn't instead of. This is the foundation for your other relationships in your life and so much more. The Soft Shoulder podcast is going to be talking about a lot of these things. Self-marriage will be a big topic, as will just self-love in action and heartbreak. And lots more to come. So there's lots to look forward to. If you're interested in this, please subscribe to the podcast. I'd love to keep this conversation going with you. So speaking of you, dear listener, what thoughts are coming up as I'm telling this story? Have you done this already? You would be surprised how many people have done this. Maybe this is a new idea for you. But since I started many years ago, I had a blog and I started sharing the fact that I had married myself to some people that I trusted. Sometimes when people would compliment me on my really kick-ass leather wristbands, I would tell them, actually, you know what? They're my wedding bands. And people started having conversations with me about it. And then when they would see or hear stories in the news about someone in Japan who married themselves, or a group of people who married themselves together in Vancouver, or any like TED Talks about self-love and self-marriage, or there's so much has come my way since I started being open about the fact that I've married myself. And even in some of my self-marriage workshops, I've had people who were already engaged or already married to themselves. It is so cool to hear how people arrive to that and that it's happening, that people are really coming home to themselves and they want a structure to honor that and to hold them and to, I really see marriage as a metaphor for the container and the commitment, the choice to make that commitment every day. So, even though it's not about the wedding, self-marriage, it's about the work of marriage. The wedding is a party. You don't need the wedding. The wedding is wonderful. The wedding can be completely full of meaning and thought. We'll talk a lot more about that as well on the Soft Shoulder podcast. But if the wedding is something that you actually really love and it's sort of your doorway in, is to kind of fantasize about having a party or a ceremony for yourself, let that be the way you flirt with yourself. Let that be your way in. Even if it seems silly, even if it's just, what would I wear? What would I wear on this? I know so many people who have had that wedding fantasy, and a lot of it is about like the clothing, the music, the atmosphere. Sometimes it's about the actual marriage of the partner, but there's something about this this really big event culturally, right? And don't be ashamed of it if that's you. And you want to wear a big honking enormous dress that looks like a huge cake or a carnival just like dripping off of you. I think so much of that is about feeling worthy of taking up that much space, of feeling worthy of putting on something so spectacular that culturally it's like, unless you're into Halloween like I am, unless your job kind of requires it, there's really not that many occasions where you can pull off a gown like that, except weddings. And I think that there's something to that. How do you imagine feeling in a gown like that, or a suit like that, or some whatever it is, whatever kind of vision that you have for yourself, a cape, who knows? Wherever that doorway is for you right now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, maybe it's about, you know, a song, maybe it's about the vows, maybe it's about just having a date with yourself to consider, and maybe it's about the dress. Let that be your doorway in. Don't judge whatever little thing is sparkling for you right now. that's luring you and calling you into thinking that maybe this is an idea worth exploring. You can actually explore self-marriage your entire life without ever getting married, right? You get to make it up. What if your whole life was a period of engagement with yourself? I mean, isn't it? What would change if it was? I looked up engagement because, I've named one of my coaching packages actually Radical Self-Engagement because I just love the idea of that word, to engage. What does it mean? And so I've pulled from a bunch of dictionary definitions my favorite little clips of this word. Listen to this. Engagement. To attract and hold fast. To please. To bind as by pledge, promise, contract, or oath. To bring into conflict. To betroth. To become involved. And my favorite is to occupy oneself. Think about that in terms of you. I also love that, and I included to bring into conflict, because self-marriage, as I said, it's the work, not the wedding. You will confront things that are in your way. The beauty of that conflict is that you can remove them and you can let them go, and you can move forward in your life with the engine of love roaring. You can live life differently when your love is louder. Thank you for listening to this. As I said, there's so much more on this topic. I could go on and on. I will later in doses for you to listen to episode by episode. But for now, I just want you to consider where you are in relationship to yourself, how you feel about this idea. Something to journal about for sure. I love journaling. I love to write about anything. It's one of my favorite self-love, self-care tools. It's my fastest way to clarity. More about that also on another episode. Thank you for joining me here at the very beginning. I really look forward to this conversation, building with you. I'm learning every day. Also, if you are someone listening right now who has married themselves like I did, I would love to hear your story. I would love to hear from you in general. Have you done this already? You can email me at danette@radicalcreativesanctuary.com and tell me about your self-love story. I will keep your emails confidential unless you give me permission to share them. Then perhaps on another episode, I'll share your self-marriage story. I think it's wonderful for all of us to hear how other people are doing this, because ended up really just doing it alone. But it's so exciting to hear what other people do, how other people create, to give us ideas for our own potential self-love rituals, ceremonies, celebrations. Thank you for listening. I wish you a beautiful self-loving day. We will talk again soon.